Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my good friend, Dave Colonen. Dave Colonen, the chaplain of Cumberland Valley Christian Radio, WPFG 91.3 FM. That's you. Hey, Dave, we have a fascinating program for our listeners today. You know, we've been spending some time talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit really controls our life if we take a good look at it. But people often sometimes are misunderstand what the Holy Spirit means, what it does, and all of those interpersonal characteristics that make up our character and our personality and who we are, that all comes from the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to talk about today. Is that okay with you?
That's good.
Well,
how many of those gifts are a part of our life?
Well, you know how that goes, Dave. We could probably come up with a whole stack of notes. But I think what we have is 9 key elements that are spirit-controlled factors that make up our life and, you know, who we are.
Why don't we take one at a time?
Let's
you
talk
take
about
one,
those.
And I'll take one.
Hey, that's a good idea. Let's just do that.
People will know what kind of a gift the Holy Spirit is.
What are the fruits that we are able to reap from the Holy Spirit? And those are very important subjects. So let's go. I'll tell you what. I'll go first, Dave.
Okay.
And that way,
and
I'm going to take what I think is probably the most valuable one right up front so I can set the stage. Love. That's the most powerful word in the English language. The Greek word used for love is very close to the idea of service that we talk about in various publications. It means sacrificially meeting the needs of others. This love isn't primarily an emotional kind of love. Not that emotion isn't involved, because emotion's involved in everything. It's just that this kind of love is primarily an act of the will, doing what is best for others, even if that means a sacrifice of ourselves. Dave, to me, that is love at its finest definition. Let me say that again, just so I drill that thought home. Doing what is best for others, even if that means a sacrifice of ourselves. Now, that is a good definition of love.
Yes, and let it flow through your life, and then it'll flow down through your whole family.
Exactly.
And I think the second gift would be joy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Joy is a deep, deep inward satisfaction that isn't dependent on circumstances. Joy is way down deep. As a matter of fact, this kind of joy can endure hostile situations. True joy is not the fleeting happiness we feel when we serve ourselves or experience comfort or pleasure. Rather, it's the deep satisfaction that results from loving other people and God. We love Him that way. It's not just happiness. It's joy. Joy. J-O-Y.
That's a good one, Dave.
I think love and joy, that's pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, that is good.
Where are we going for number
that's
three,
good.
Huh?
Well, let's see. I guess there's a lot of powerful words that are attributes to personality. How about peace? Peace in this good old world. Peace within our lives. You know, biblical peace is the tranquility of the heart that results from knowing that all is right between ourselves and God. Now, that's a good definition of peace. You see, it's the opposite of anxiety and worry. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 tells us that. Don't worry. Peace comes from knowing that God is in control of everything. We can relax because He's in charge. Hey, when we constantly bring up our needs to the Lord in prayer, trusting Him to help us, His peace becomes our peace. It's peace that the Holy Spirit gives to us if we simply ask.
I want to just put right on top of that, long-suffering.
Oh.
I think it goes along with peace. Long-suffering. You could call it patience. It means to suffer long under abuse, injury, shortcomings of other people. Our usual response to adversity is to complain or to gripe or perhaps even to get revenge. The Spirit-directed person, this is important, listen close, the Spirit-directed person can accept injury without fighting back.
Ooh, boy, you're heavy, Dave. That's a very good one. Long-suffering. That's important. Boy, I have to write that down in my memory bank. I hope people are taking notes at home. How about if we move on, Dave? You know what I thought of when I'm talking about spiritual controlled life characteristics? How about kindness? What can be more important than kindness? Kindness is really an extension of long-suffering that you were just talking about.
I think that's a little bit of it.
And yeah.
You get a lot of that in you. You're a kind person.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm the kind that does radio programs. Well, besides tolerating the abuse of others, we should be gracious, thoughtful, and understanding, seeing their needs and being their servants. That's a good way to say it. Servants, kindness is better than abruptness when we are under pressure. Kindness is people-oriented thinking. It comes from a sensitive, tender heart that sees people as God sees people. That's kindness, being good to everybody.
I love to be around kind people.
Yeah.
It helps me to learn how to be kind when everything goes wrong. Goodness.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yep.
Goodness
oh,
sake.
That's a good characteristic.
What do we use goodness for? Goodness is a extension of kindness.
Yeah, it is.
You're kind. You're good into being.
Yeah.
You're going to be into being good.
Mm-hmm.
It's our actions. It's our thoughts. It's our attitudes. Good people. Yeah, good people. They are hospitable. They're generous. They give of their possessions and even themselves. It's the opposite of what's in it for me.
Yeah.
That's what goodness
is.
You're not trying to get something by giving out something from your life and say, boy, I hope they sure give it back to me. This kind of goodness comes from turning everything we have over to God, recognizing that everything right down to our bank accounts, our homes and our cars are all tools to be used for our Savior's glory.
Oh, boy, I have to remember that one.
Goodness is
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head on that one, Dave. I like that. Yeah, goodness. How about the next word I can think of, a characteristic that is spirit-controlled, is faithfulness. How about that one? Faithfulness means serving consistently, being dependable, like most of us in this fruitful, quantitative world that we live in. It springs out of order and of our spiritual life, one where we've learned to walk with the Lord. That's faithfulness. You've got to be good to one another, faithful to the Lord in all of your works and all of your decision-making. And that's just a part of our characteristics. Goes along with what you said earlier about attitude. Faithfulness marries attitude as well.
Okay. There's a couple more here.
All right.
Gentleness. Gentleness, how's that?
Oh, that's a good one.
That's not weakness. Just because you're gentle, that's not a sign of weakness. Instead, the word was used of a wild horse that has been brought under control with the use of a bit and bridle. Gentleness implies strength under control. A gentle man is a strong man who has submitted to God a control. Gentle person, which is how Jesus described himself in Matthew's gospel, chapter 11, is one who is not haughty or arrogant, even when others upset him. Rather than lashing out, he practices strength under control. Man, if you get these, that's a good one. If you get the Spirit working brings these fruits of the Spirit into your life, you're going to be a precious person.
Yeah, well, you know what that reminds me of? A Western movie starring Kevin Costner here not so long ago. Oh, gee, I can't think of the name of the film. They were free grazers taking cattle across the country in the West. You remember seeing that kind of film? And you talk about gentleness that you were referring to here. One of the guys that worked in as a cowhand with them was just a great big huge guy, huge man, mountain of a man. But he was kind and gentle, and he was good to everybody. And he was killed in this movie. And they were saying, and that was the remainder of the film was trying to straighten this out and make this right. You can't just go killing a kind person like that and saying, hey, we don't want your free grazers here. You know, it was a very stirring film. But that is what you're talking about here. The gentleness and kindness of good and great people, male, female, young, old, black, white, it doesn't matter. When you find someone who is gentle, that is just the salt of the earth. Thank you for using that one, Dave.
Hey, I kind of, we've been through eight of these.
Yeah.
And the Bible says there are nine.
Well, I have one in my hip pocket. I'll tell you what, this one means a lot to me because, I was a hunter ed instructor years ago. Self-control, I think, is that other personality trait that we need to talk about. If you want to be powerful in the eyes of the Holy Spirit doing your work, you've got to be able to demonstrate self-control. To be self-controlled just simply means to be disciplined in all areas of your life. Of course, especially in the moral parts of our life, we've got to demonstrate self-control. We bring our bodies under submission. We control our desires and passions rather than letting them control us. Self-control is very, very, very important. We're all human, and we all have eyes. What's that expression? Candy eyes, or eyes for your candy, or candy for your eyes, or something like that. But self-control and discipline is what it takes to be a solid moral citizen. And the Holy Spirit understands that we're human, but we've got to be able to understand also that it takes self-control and discipline to be a godly person.
Now let's go one step further.
Okay.
And you can get in on this too.
All right.
I think when you have these nine gifts, mm-hmm. that you walk in that Spirit.
Yeah.
The Spirit gives direction from the Word of God. John 16:13 says, we are told that the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. The truth is a reference to the Word of God. So when we get these gifts, we learn how to walk in the Spirit. What does walking in the Spirit mean to you?
Oh, that's a big one. Well, when you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking in a godly fashion. You're doing the right thing. You're saying the right thing. And you know something? That prayer will change your attitude. It's just when you humble yourself to go in prayer, you're doing as you just talked about. That we are sanctifying our lives by that living truth. And in fact, in John chapter 17, verse 17, I believe it is too, Jesus prayed, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Through the word, the Spirit tells us what to do. That's very important. And that, of course, that goes along with your thought process there, that we walk in the Spirit, and that gives us our direction. You're very wise and to be able to say and understand that, and sharing that with our listeners. Walking in the Spirit, it means it depends on the Spirit for all the power and might that we have in our bodies. If we walk in the Spirit, we're walking a godly life. We're not walking one way and saying another, or saying one thing and walking another. Either way you want to look at it. It literally means, by means of passage, could be translated, walk by means of the Spirit. It implies dependence. We are all dependent on the Holy Spirit. He gives us the ability to do what the Word says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You know what it says there? It says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. We have to depend on Him in order to live the Christian life. So that's what it means to walk in the Spirit.
Let me give you an illustration.
Okay, thanks.
Let's say that you have trouble being patient with your family. Suppose you have a long record of flying off the handle and saying cutting things that afterwards you wish you hadn't said that. Now, the desires of the flesh would be to do the things that please yourself. But as a Christian, you have the Word telling you, God's Word telling you, that you need to be patient and kind. That's what the world needs.
That's
somebody
right.
to stop them in their tracks and say, hey, quit flying off the handle and let God bring you help. And so He does with the Holy Spirit. And the little voice inside you, it says, friend, that's not what God wants you to do. To lose patience with your family? And your family would love to hear you say that I have found the fruit of the Spirit and I'm not going to fly off the handle anymore. You believe in that gift?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Dave. The power of the Holy Spirit can do that for you. And isn't it a shame that sometimes we lose that, we get away from it? Wasn't it Benjamin Franklin who said, you know, we have proven through the history of this young nation that we live in that those who follow the Christian faith are the finest citizens that we have. And you know why? Because of what you just said, David. These people are willing to say, the Holy Spirit is going to lead me, and I'm going to get rid of my animosities in life. My bitterness and my hatred will go away if I simply walk in the Spirit. And that's what you're trying to say today. David, you say that so very well, and I thank you sincerely. Walking in the Spirit is something that we all learn to control our personality traits as the years go by. It's a shame that we all can't learn this in our teenage years so that we don't have to struggle through our young adult life. All too often we have to get into our 20s, maybe 30s, and sometimes even the 40s before we fully understand what walking in the Spirit means. All of these wonderful characteristics, these personality traits that you've talked about, Dave, brings a warmth and compassion to mankind, to all of us. We all need to pray about these things and ask the Lord to teach us so that we might walk in the Spirit. And we can demonstrate all those things we talked about, the love and the joy and the faithfulness and the gentleness that we've talked about. Those characteristics will give you the peace and the kindness that you have to have if you want to walk with the Lord.
Let me give you, let's give them, maybe they got their pencil on paper now. I want to write it down right.
Good.
Love and joy.
Yes.
And peace.
Yes.
And long suffering. We're going too fast. Kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Yeah, those were the buzzwords we talked about.
Why don't you talk about that at supper table tonight?
Yeah.
Hand out a little piece of paper with all these words on it, and while you're eating, get a meaningful conversation going and tell your family, this is what we need to do. We need to work on these things, and the Spirit of God is a gift. We don't have to kill ourselves over this stuff. It will be given to us.
That's right.
So if you want love, joy, faithfulness, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, peace, gentleness, self-control, we will walk in the Spirit of God. Our family will walk in that Spirit, and supper will taste so good.
Oh, wow. You know something? That'll be a meal those people would never forget. They just follow your thoughts. David, you're very wise. See, the Holy Spirit allows you to belong to the family of God if you simply follow those principles. Nobody wants to be on the outside. When you look at these characteristics, you know, there's something within you that needs a sense of belonging. Everything God created requires a connection. Nothing He makes is whole unto itself. Everything is a part of something. And that's what we need to do, developing these characteristics that Dave was talking about. You see, your eyes need something to view. Your ears need something that sounds. Your mind needs thoughts. Your mouth needs words. Your feet requires a place to go. You see, there's a connection. Your hands require something to reach for. Something you find belonging necessarily for the comfort, for your satisfaction, for your rest, for your peace. All of those attributes that we talked about, it's belonging to something. And we belong to the Holy Spirit. And if you want to belong to your family and friends as well and connect all those things, the key word here is to connect. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can give you the inner assurance that you are truly a child of God, belonging to His gigantic family of God. Read Romans chapter 8. Those of you who are taking notes, verse 15 and 16, look at that. Romans chapter 8, and see what it says about this connection. You see, you're focusing on discouraging, and we shouldn't do that. You are not alone in this huge world today. If you're focused on discouraging things in your life, that could bring inner sorrow and depression to your life. You have not been forgotten by God. He has kept you preserved, and God has great plans for you today. Perhaps you were not born into a wealthy family. Poverty may have stalked you during your entire life. Who knows? You may remember the shame you felt when others could eat in a nice restaurant, but you could not. And your father might be illiterate. Your own education might be limited. You might even feel ashamed to speak in front of other people. But the Holy Spirit created you for a very special purpose. He knows where you belong. He has uncommon plans for you. He sowed the seeds of greatness in you while you were still in your mother's womb. So when Satan reminds you of past failures, you can remind him of his future failures. Stop the victim vocabulary. Let your words become photographs of the future of your desires instead of the futures of your fears. Talk like an overcomer. Think like an overcomer. Laugh like a victor, not a victim. Your Heavenly Father has heard the cry of your heart. His biggest plans are coming to pass in your life. Jesus wants you to pray as a child of God. When He taught His disciples to pray, He taught, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Look it up in Luke 12, chapter 2. He wants you to approach your Father as if you truly belong to Him, because you do. God wants to be your Father even more than you want to be His child. And will be a Father unto you if you simply ask and allow Him to come in. You are the son or the daughter of the God Almighty. And that's written, by the way, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. It says just that. You see, God will pursue you, His people and His family. "I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was sent unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called children of the living God." That's written in Romans chapter 9. I was reading that right out of the Bible, verse 25 and 26.
I love the way people pay attention when we're talking and how they listen to our program. And
yes.
Can we pray again for all of our friends?
Let's do that, David.
These people are tuned our way, and God is saying, yes, yes, give them what they need. So let's pray. Father, I thank You. I thank You for the Holy Spirit. He's confirmed within our hearts that You are our Father. We're Your children, and I truly belong to the great family of God. I pray, O God, that You will take us, change our family's conversation tonight. Change the way we wake up tomorrow morning and what we want to do with our life. And may we be a part of the family of God in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.
Thank you, my friend. David, we've exhausted our time. It's time for us to say goodbye. I trust that our listeners are stronger in their faith, and they remember that we are all connected to one another. And without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we will never be able to succeed. Thank you for being with us. Bye-bye for now. We'll see you soon.
Good to be with you. Thanks, Gif, for being a part of our program today. I always enjoy being a part of what you say and what you do, how you live. I am most grateful for your kindness in my behalf as your friend. And I look forward to being with you next week and to deliver the message again, whatever it is. Have a good day and God bless you. Bye-bye.